The text I selected for this morning is verse 19 in Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. We are all creatures of habit. To verify this, just look around. Where are you sitting? You come each Lord's Day, and you sit in, if not exactly the same place, but in approximately the same place. And after having been here over a few weeks and months, I can pretty much depend upon seeing each of you in your place. Don't confuse me. We are creatures of habit. All you have to do is get in your car, and if your mind wanders a little bit as you head off to the grocery store, you will find yourself on the road to work. We are creatures of habit. But then the question comes, does it not? Are we able to change? Are we able to break those habits? And furthermore, the deeper question is, are you able to break bad habits and to form new habits, good habits? As the old saying goes, you can take the horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. And so we would assume it's very difficult, and often it is, to break habits, bad habits, and to form new habits. But the Word of God this morning is given to us to encourage you and to encourage me that you can indeed form new habits. Because of what Christ has done, you can form new habits through practice. Do you hear me? You can form new habits through practice because of what Jesus Christ has done. This is the burden of the text which is before you this morning in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 19. Paul says again, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Paul is speaking about presenting your members. And what he has in mind is the members of your body, your hands, your feet, your ears, your eyes, your mouth, the various parts of your body, the various members of your body, utilizing them. This is what he's talking about. And in your former life, outside of Christ, you utilized the members of your body. You presented the members of your body to impurity and lawlessness, Paul says. Now, I know not all of you have a life, a former life outside of Christ. But some of you do. And these words of the Apostle Paul will resonate. Paul is speaking about presenting the members of the body. And what he has in mind here is looking to the past and looking at your former life outside of Christ as a whole. Like looking at the ball game, the football game that has just transpired, and all of the plays that were in that football game. And he's saying, you presented, say time after time, you presented the members of your body to lawlessness and uncleanness. Look again at our text. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, the impurity he has in mind is uncleanness. Uncleanness that verges on violence. For example, it wasn't that long ago here in Penn Hills when this young man unfortunately stabbed his cheerleader girlfriend and she died. This is the kind of thing Paul is talking about. This is an extreme case, but this is the kind of thing Paul is talking about, you see. this kind of uncleanness that verges on violence. And then he speaks about lawlessness. The Apostle John tells us sin is lawlessness. When you break the commands of God, the dictates of God, the will of God, you walk in sin. Let's just review some of the commandments briefly. You shall have no other gods before me. That includes the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers. You shall not make for yourself an idol. American Idol is a big deal in our culture today, is it not? And it was just in the news, I think it was just this week, where a young lady took her own life because she was so enamored with some of the individuals involved with American Idol. That's an extreme, you would say. But that's how deeply we become attached to things in this life, things in this world. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's very significant, is it not, that all forms of vulgarity and cursing, when you listen to the news, you hear those little bleeps, and the vulgarity is bleeped. But how often do you hear the name of God or the name of Jesus Christ? Those utterances are not covered over. That blasphemy is not covered over. How easily we go in these directions. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I would submit to you that our nation is one gargantuous example of the breaking of the Sabbath. The Lord's Day has come to be like any other business day, any other sports day, more than any other business day. In many respects, rather than a day of worship, a rest and worship. And too often, our churches are emptied in favor of the athletic events. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Authority structures are to be honored. The sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Jesus says, if you bear hatred in your heart, you are already committing murder in your heart. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. You are to find your satisfaction with your spouse. You are not to find satisfaction with pornographic literature. R-rated and X-rated movies. Paul says, husbands, love your wives. Love your own wives as... Do you get that? Love your own wives, not someone else's. The eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Pay your debts. Pay your debts. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Tell the truth. The truth is a priority. I'm reminded of the bumper sticker again. What would happen if everyone told the truth? You shall not covet. You shall be content. That's what the tenth commandment is about. Contentment. You shall be content in the life that the Lord gives you. See, these are the things that Paul is talking about in verse 19. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, and when you present your members to the various types of lawlessness over and over and over again, what happens? You become good. You become good at sinning. And this is what Paul is saying, resulting in further lawlessness. This is a road down which you do not want to travel. in my own life. My father taught me to drink. And there was a drink of choice in our house. And every night after work, my mom and dad would have a drink. And I was encouraged down that road. And that's a habit that you form. Drugs are the same way. It's a habit that you form. And pretty soon you're hooked. And what does Paul say? For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, you become a slave to sin through habitual sinning. But now here's the good news. Jesus Christ in His work has effected a radical breach with sin in your life if you are a Christian. Jesus Christ has effected a radical breach with sin in your life. This is part of the teaching of Romans chapter 6. Let's just look at a few of these verses again, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? If you have actually died to sin, how can you live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? You have been united to Jesus Christ in His death. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Why? Why were you united to Christ in His death? So that you might walk in newness of life, having died with Christ. There is the opportunity now to walk in a new direction. Verse 5, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with Him in order that our body might be done, body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Do you hear those words? No longer a slave to sin. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Those words need to burn in our hearts. Those words need to burn in your heart. A good understanding of those words. Verse 7, for he who has died, listen to these words, for he who has died is freed from sin, from the power of sin. No longer a slave to sin. Drop down, if you will, to verse 18. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You see, this is the dynamic. This is the picture that Paul is painting. He's using this metaphor, if you will, this picture of slavery. and slaves being bought out from under the dominion of a master and set free to live a different life. That's the dynamic. That's the picture that Paul is presenting to us. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. You have a new master. Sin is no longer your master. Do you realize that? Sin is not your master any longer. You see, some of us walk around in this world, "Oh, poor me. Oh, poor me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. I'm stuck in this pattern of life." But Paul is saying, God is saying through the Apostle Paul, if you are indeed united to Christ in His death, sin, the power of sin, has been broken over your life. You are no longer its servant. You are no longer its slave. Verse 22, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, freed from that previous master, and now you have a new Lord, you have a new master that you serve. This is real. And then verse 14, go back up into verse 14. Notice how firmly the Apostle Paul puts this. For sin shall not be master over you. This is not just a vague statement with regard to the future. This is a definitive statement with regard to the actuality surrounding your life. Sin shall not be master, and the word here is Lord. And I think part of the reason that Apostle Paul uses this word Lord is that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Do you not confess Him as Lord? If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is your Lord. If that is the case, the power of sin has been broken. A radical breach with sin has been effected by the work of Jesus Christ over your life, and Jesus Christ is actually your Lord. This is not a confession that you simply make with your mouth, but this is an actuality. And so now notice what Paul says in verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Paul recognizes that we have some difficulties with spiritual things. And so he has to use this word picture, this metaphor, if you will, with regard to slavery, to put it in a way that we can understand the truth of God. The spiritual reality is that you're no longer a slave to sin. And so Paul says, for just as, notice the language, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, just as you used to do that, just as this was the case before, now, since you have come to Christ, since you are united to Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, since a radical breach from sin has been effected in your life, and sin is no longer the Lord over your life, Jesus Christ is the Lord over your life, what are you to do? So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Present your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, the members of your body, to righteousness. I give you another little example from my own life. As I mentioned, my dad taught me to drink. And I could have gone down that road into alcoholism. And when I went to Korea years ago, one of the first things I did was I purchased a bottle of bourbon and a bottle of vermouth for the Officers Club bar, because the drink of choice was the Manhattan. And when I was converted to faith in Christ, to me the miraculous thing that happened was there was actually a radical breach that occurred in my life, and I had no desire whatsoever for that alcohol. But that wasn't enough. A new habit had to be cultivated. And so when the other men would invite me to the bar and say, "Can I buy you a drink?" I would say, "Yes, I'll take a Pepsi." And it was the beginning of the cultivation of a new habit. Present your members over and over and over again to righteousness. And what is the outcome? Look at verse 19 again. "So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." And what Paul has in mind here is progressive sanctification, growth in Christ. What is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's Spirit whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and enabled more and more to die to sin and to live to righteousness. And Paul is saying, friends, that this route to sanctification involves practicing righteousness. And Paul is saying to you and to me, because of the radical breach with sin that has occurred over your life, you are able now, by the grace of God, to form new habits, to break old habits, and to form new habits. Let me show you a companion verse here. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Work out the implications of your salvation. You're a Christian. You confess Christ as Lord. Work out the implications of that confession in your life. And are you able to do so? Look at verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God's good pleasure is that righteousness that we rehearsed just a little bit ago. Let's just take one of those commandments. The fourth commandment, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In other words, the day is to be a day of rest and worship. You know how Calvin understood that day? He said, when you retire from your labor and enter into worship on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, you are testifying to the world that your relationship with God is not based upon your works, but is based upon grace. And that's our confession, is it not? Salvation by grace through faith. And one of the ways, friends, one of the ways that you make that confession before the world is by setting aside your weekly labors and entering into rest and worship on the Lord's Day. You make that confession, you see. Now, is that hard? For some of us, it is. What does Paul say? It is God who is at work in you, both to make you willing and able to do His good pleasure. He gives you the will to do it, and He gives you the power to carry out that will. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And so you can practice, friends. You can practice the good pleasure of God. Go back with me now to Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. Here's the lesson. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. In a change of life, and it comes about by practicing that which God would have you do. Think about daily devotions. Think about worship in the church, morning and evening on the Lord's Day. Think about holding your tongue when you feel like, shall I say it, mouthing off at the boss? Holding your tongue. Practicing these things. Children, practicing obedience to parents. Practicing these things. And what does it do? Results in a change of life. Now, I think I could give you a little examination at this point. And the examination would be something like this. For many of you, you can look back over your life. And as you look back, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, is it not true that you are a different person than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Be honest. Is it not true that there have actually been changes made in your life? Why have those changes been made? Because Christ, in His work, effected a radical breach from sin in your life, and you began to live differently, and you began to form new habits. And as a result, you began to grow and to change in Christ. This is what happened. Praise God. This is what happens. And so I say to you, friends, new habits can be formed, old habits can be broken because of what Christ has done. And you need to practice those new habits to form them. Some of you know I'm somewhat of a basketball fan. Tyler Hansborough, forward, senior now, for the University of North Carolina, has an amazing free throw record. He's dropped the ball into the basket from the charity stripe more times than he's made field goals. And he's up over total something like over 2,000 points. Why? Well, one reason is that before every practice he goes out and stands at that free throw line and he puts the ball into the basket 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, 50 times, 60 times, 70 times, 80 times, 100 times, 150 times. Every day before practice, he does this. And if you practice, what's going to happen? You will get better. And I submit to you, friends, it's the same thing in the Christian life. I'm speaking to you in human terms. You see, it's the same thing in the Christian life. What is the besetting problem you have? I say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the power of sin has been broken over your life. Understand that this is the case. And you are able, because of the work of Christ, to form new habits. Understand the gospel and understand the word of God in this place and understand that God has not put you in a cul-de-sac, but he has put you on the road of sanctification. And you are able to form new habits because of the work of Jesus Christ through practice. Look at verse 19 once again. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Let's pray together. Father, this is a lesson we all have to learn. Forgive us where we have not taken the gospel seriously, where we have not understood adequately the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And as we've said, the radical breach from sin affected in our lives. Forgive us that we so often confess Jesus is Lord, but live as though various sins and difficulties are actually the masters over our lives. Give us a new perspective on these things, we pray. wipe away the cloud of misunderstanding and let the gospel, the light of the gospel, shine through brilliantly so that we may see that sin is no longer our master, but Christ is indeed Lord in every respect. And since this is the case, Father, teach us, we pray, through an active Christian life, teach us that we are, because of the work of Christ, able to break old habits and to form new habits through practice. We pray these things in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Lord. Amen.